Good morning, everyone. Please have a seat. We've moved the adult sermon till this place, and then we'll continue with the memorial after. For the last couple of days, I've been working on my sermon, but I stumbled across something that might have been by accident. Another accident, right? Is that better? Yeah, you can hear me? Okay. So, is anybody familiar with Simona Petra? It's a monastery on Mount Athos. And they published a Synaxarion, which is a collection of the lives of the saints. And what's interesting is I went to the wrong date. I went for the 30th instead of today. We celebrate Kyriakos today. But I looked for tomorrow. And on tomorrow's Synaxarion, they celebrate in the Simona Petra Synaxarion, St. Jerome. This is really significant to me, at least, because I love St. Jerome. St. Jerome was a Bible translator. He did many commentaries. He studied the scriptures. And so for me, he's a great saint. St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mountain confused a different St. Jerome and placed him on June 15th with St. Augustine, which is another great happenstance, I suppose, that also came out. So I guess my point is, what I'm trying to get at is, June 15th, I would like to talk about St. Augustine. So you got a couple months for that. But I'm really glad that we could break up St. Jerome from St. Augustine so that I could perhaps speak a little bit about St. Jerome today. I don't know where to start. I suppose, is anybody really familiar with St. Jerome, who he is? Maybe a few? St. Jerome lived in the late 300s, and just like St. Kyriakos, who we celebrate today, he was a monk in Palestine. He grew up in Rome, and he loved the classics. He loved reading Cicero, and he loved rhetoric and all these things. And he becomes a Christian when he was in Rome. He had read the life of St. Anthony, who had fled out to the desert, and he became a Christian at this point, and he wanted to follow in his footsteps. One of the unique things about St. Jerome, especially for us Orthodox, is after a while, he went to Constantinople. And at Constantinople, he met St. Gregory the Theologian and also Basil the Great. And it was here that he learned the Eastern approach to interpreting scriptures. What's kind of hushed many times is that St. Gregory the Theologian and Basil the Great, they loved Origen. He got condemned later, but they loved Origen, and they even compiled a bunch of his works together that were really good, and they called it the Philokalia, which is, later, there was another Philokalia, but this was the Philokalia of Origen. And so they teach Jerome how to interpret the scripture in this Eastern way, following after Origen, who had already passed away by this time. Jerome fell in love with the works of Origen, and he learned how to interpret the scriptures in the spiritual way, just like Origen would do. And he then writes his first commentary, I believe, was Jonah. So if you have the opportunity, I would highly recommend it. There was a guy who translated it, and it's online for free. It was his dissertation. But if you want to pay for it too, I'm sure it's combined in another, you know, work with some of his other things, but he presented this one specifically to Saint Basil and Saint Gregory as an offering after his years of study, his few years of studying with Saint Gregory the Theologian and John and Basil. So another fact, tidbit, I suppose, of Jerome is he then goes to Jerusalem, and he stays. Eventually, he builds his monastery in Bethlehem. And he sets it up right next to the grotto, or the cave, where Christ was born. One of the amazing writings that he he complains about how Rome had taken the crib that was in the grotto while he was there. He complained that Rome, the Romans had taken it and they placed it in a church called Mary Majora in Rome, which is still there to today. But he complains about this because they put in this golden one, and it was very elaborate. And he complains thinking, I wish I had the one that Christ actually was laid in. I wish I had the one that was much humbler. And in any case, I had the great privilege to go to Jerusalem and to go to Bethlehem in 2007 and to see the place where St. Jerome was. But I went there again in, just last summer with Holy Cross. And I had asked the tour guide after we go to see the cave, I said, is it all right if we stop to see St. Jerome? And he turns around and he asks the other seminarians, oh, does anybody else want to see the place of St. Jerome? And there were several people who said, no, we don't want to see St. Jerome. And I thought, this is so peculiar. This is, why wouldn't it? And so I just want, so that was Jerome's life. What he's famous for is he translated the Vulgate from Hebrew into Latin, the Old Testament. And then in Greek, there was some old Latin translations that were done very poorly, and he updated them, and he corrected them. One of his biggest things about reading scripture, he had a hard time doing it because of the language. The original translator didn't know Latin very well, and so he loved reading Cicero and all these classics, and so going from them to a really poor translation of the Latin broke his heart many times. So he took it upon, well, the Pope actually appointed him to translate the Vulgate. So anyhow, so this is one of the things he is known for. But in the East, he's maybe underemphasized, which I think is part of why the response was so strong, was no, we don't want to go see where St. Jerome lived and where his monastery was. And so I'd like to briefly mention this. St. Jerome, it's not really up for debate. St. Jerome is a saint in the Orthodox Church as well as the Western Church. Some people may want to debate whether he truly was a saint. Also, St. Augustine is usually grouped with him, and they both kind of, since the 60s for sure, I've heard even certain people say, oh, he was a heretic. And this isn't for debate. Jerome and Augustine were both proclaimed saints at two different councils. So if somebody wants to say, well, he wasn't Orthodox, well, you have to go against two ecumenical councils in order to make your claim. Let me find this. Here it is. So in the Third Council, what everyone knows about the Third Council is usually Nestorius. Nestorius, who denied that Christ, that Mary was the birth giver of God, that Christ was both man and God at conception. So Nestorius negates this, but at this Third Council, also a man named Pelagius was condemned. And Pelagius had some really peculiar views, sort of peculiar views, because I've heard many people in the Orthodox churches say things very close to what Pelagius did as well. And so this is really why I want to bring this up, because I think it's something somewhat forgotten in our tradition, that there was this man named Pelagius who believed that death and corruption was in the world before Adam was. That even if Adam didn't die, or even if Adam didn't sin, he would have died. And so, the fall wasn't really a fall. It was his own personal descent in sin. And he believed and taught that everyone is born in the same state that Adam was. That we are all born without sin. That we're all born without the effects of Adam. And this was specifically what Saint Jerome and Augustine attacked. And so, and said that there was something called original sin, and that it did pass down throughout all of descendants. Both sin and corruption was passed down to the descendants. And that this doctrine itself is what the Third Council says that Jerome and Augustine were correct about. So they might have many different doctrine and theology that we might want to disagree with, but this one specifically is what the Third Council said that they were correct about. And then in the Fifth Council, it's confirmed what they had already decreed. It says, "We further declare that we hold fast to the decrees of the four councils, and in every way follow the Holy Fathers, Athanasius, Hilary, Basil, Gregory the Theologian, Gregory of Nyssa, Ambrose, Theophilos, John Chrysostom of Constantinople, Cyril, Augustine, Jerome, Proclus, Leo, and their writings on the true faith." And this was at the first session read before the Holy Fathers. And then I would like to mention one more canon, if I haven't bored you enough yet. This last thing, I promise. This last canon even uses this word. So there was a council in Carthage. And this council in Carthage, the councils and the decrees were then ratified in the Seventh Ecumenical Council. So we can't go against these either. And this was specifically that infants are baptized for the remission of sins. He says, in this council, "Likewise, it seemed good that whosoever denies that infants newly from their mother's wombs should be baptized, or says that baptism is for the remission of sins, but that they derive from Adam no original sin, which needs to be removed by the laver of regeneration, from whence the conclusion follows that in them the form of baptism for the remission of sins is to be understood as false and not true, let him be anathema," which is means accursed. So to sum up, this canon was then ratified. If you're interested in the Greek, it's 112, number 112. Anyhow, my whole point is, Saint Jerome is a huge saint, specifically in the West, and I feel like we lose sight of him. There was a clear heresy in the church that he dealt with, both him and Augustine. And as Orthodox, sometimes we don't want to go as far as he did. We get a little bit nervous when we hear some of these words about original sin specifically. And I want to bring this up specifically that it has the backing of at least two councils. And so this is not just something that we can just push away. That we need to, at the very least, reconsider these things. And all this to say as well, I just want to honor Saint Jerome, not just in this one theological issue, because that's not really what he's known for. Like, in the councils he is, but what he's primarily known for is his beautiful commentaries on the scripture. And if you ever get a chance to read any of them, they're absolutely beautiful, and they really have changed my thought on how we should interpret scripture. And so, yes, once again, if you get the chance, his commentary on Jonah, it's really short, maybe 60 pages total, and you can get a feel for his full perspective on the text. So with all this said, I was going to preach on the gospel this morning, and as I came across this, I had to change my mind. So thanks for bearing with me as I... As my wife said last night, it was more of a lecture. So I apologize if it hadn't had the entertaining grip that a sermon should. But may the Lord be with all of you. We'll continue now with the memorial in just a minute.